As we heard earlier this hour, the push by Governor Ducey and Republican leaders to change the state's tax system and implement a so-called flat tax has thrown a monkey wrench into this legislative session's budget negotiations. To learn more about what a flat tax would do and the ways in which it could impact Arizona's economy, I spoke earlier with economist Stephen Slavinsky of ASU's Center for the Study of Economic Liberty. He started by explaining the differences between the flat tax and the state's current system.
There are two flavors of income taxes at the state level mainly. You've got what they call a graduated income tax. Some people call it a progressive income tax, but the reason they call it progressive or graduated is that you've got multiple brackets. Some people are probably familiar with this, especially in Arizona. We've been paying taxes like this for a while. And you've got in the state of Arizona currently four brackets, and the rates go up the higher bracket you get to. Contrast that with what is often called a flat tax or maybe a single rate tax, if you will, which is effectively what it says on the tin. It basically says there are no brackets per se. It just says that no matter where you are in the income spectrum, you have one rate across the board that you pay. Currently, the Arizona legislature and the governor are mulling over a plan to do this for Arizona. It's about a 2.5%, what they call a flat tax or single rate tax for Arizona. Contrasting that with the current system of about four rates that goes from about 2.59 at the bottom bracket all the way up to about 4.5% at the top bracket.
What do you make of the argument of this is something that if we go to a flat tax quickly, this will cause dramatic changes needed to be made in terms of government spending? Is it a good idea to have it implemented so quickly?
The reality of the mathematics behind transitioning from a multi-level or a multi-rate a graduated tax system to a flat tax is that by definition, the wealthy, as they say, are going to pay less relative to the current system. That's only because they currently pay the larger percentage of the overall tax burden because they have higher rates, right? A bigger pie and a higher rate is going to yield a lot more money than a smaller pie with a lower rate. But even in a flat system, you're going to still have that larger pie, even though it's going to be a lower rate by comparison to the current situation. You'll definitely see lower revenue compared to the current situation. But then I think there's also that's sort of what they call a static analysis, the idea that the world won't change and people won't make decisions and change their activities based on new realities. I think a new reality would be if you've got a flat tax, you could potentially unlock a number of different business investments and migrations of people and companies to Arizona that would not have occurred if not for the change in the tax regime, or if not for the reform. And I also think there's a very, and this is kind of a not sexy and kind of a wonky point, but I think it's important for state budgeting matters, is that graduated income tax rates typically tend to be more volatile. What that means is whenever you're in a boom period, we have rapid growth in personal income tax revenue. Whenever we're in a down period, a recession, we have a rapid drop off. And that makes sense, right? If you're up kind of, let's say you're a business and you're in an upper tax bracket and you suddenly start losing a lot of your business because of recession, you're going to drop pretty quickly. And so you're paying dramatically less tax the year after that recession hits. That's going to have a big impact on, and does have a big impact, we've already seen it in past recessions, for the state coffers. So basically, you actually have an environment where flat or uniform income tax rates actually tend to be more robust and more predictable and less volatile.
Talk to me about the timing of this. Why would it make sense or not right now?
One thing I think all states are going to be dealing with in a post-pandemic world is attracting business, attracting capital. We're also in an environment where states aren't just competing for these types of things, but we're also in an environment where the federal government is actually handing out lots of money in the form of payments to individual families, sometimes in multiple thousands of dollars. And so that it puts an interesting choice in front of states. They could, if they have surpluses, and Arizona is one of those states that does, do you use it to pay down debt? Do you use it to increase spending on certain categories of programs? Or do you give some of it back? Governor Brewer just recently said, well, maybe what we should be doing is just giving back a chunk of the money now and not worrying about sort of changing the system permanently. So I think the policy discussion that's going on, or at least implicitly, is that the legislature and the governor want to think long term about what Arizona's business climate will look like in 2022 and beyond. And so just simply giving money back in one fell swoop, in just one lump sum for 1 year, wouldn't really do a lot to competitiveness in that sense. And so I think the timing is important for that reason. I mean, there may be political reasons for it too. It is very rare that you see a governor in their second term do a big picture tax reform. Those kinds of things typically happen in the first couple of years when political scientists say a governor has momentum. And so this is actually rather unique, at least in my observation of it over the past 15 or 20 years, for tax reform occurring in the second term.
Is this the big picture, big government versus small government argument?
Well, in some ways it is. I mean, I think there is a, you know, obviously you're seeing some pushback from Republicans in the legislature saying that this is a lot more spending than they would want to have signed up for. And they think maybe that the flat tax is a sweetener to try to get them to go along with some spending. On the other hand, you can see a lot of people agreeing to it because they get their pet project in. And so for them, as long as their priorities are funded, then they can just happily go along with whatever's in the budget. So I think there is a great deal of pushing and pulling in this process. As an economist, I'm a researcher. I like the idea of having slow deliberation over things and looking at multi-decade time frame to figure out how do these migrations and movements and data trends operate relative to one another. But yeah, the truth is, we really don't often have that kind of thing when it comes to state politics. And so so under the circumstances, this is not too surprising. The budget tends to be written in a fairly compressed time frame every year, which actually just might speak to a broader question about institutionally, how do we do these things? Just because we've rushed into a decision on tax policy doesn't necessarily make it a bad decision. But the question is, long term, are there changes we can make to the legislative process that might make these things easier to do, or more specifically, allow more deliberation? And that's an institutional question that kind of goes way beyond the budget process.
That is Stephen Slavinsky, Senior Research Fellow for the Center for the Study of Economic Liberty at ASU. Good to catch up with you again. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.